Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, the go-home show to this Sunday's Fastlane at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get into the deep dive on this week's Monday Night Raw, there are a few articles of news we should go over with you. First off, and probably most important, is that there is a rumor, and right now that's all it is, that the NXT facilities could potentially have been exposed to another COVID outbreak. Now, supposedly this came from transferring some rings. There was people working on moving rings from building to building. They weren't, I guess, wearing masks. And what I'm being told is a percentage of them tested positive for COVID, which means there's a potential outbreak among the people who were there. And the rumor is that it could potentially change the card, the two-night card, for the upcoming takeover. So we'll keep you informed on that. No specific people have been named. No one has been declared sick or being sent home or anything. So we'll see what happens, because sometimes these things get blown out of proportion. But what I am hearing is that Vince McMahon was very upset with some employees who weren't following, I guess, standards. Say what you will about it. And that the testing did, in fact, reveal that some people, what they're calling a decent amount, tested positive, which could keep some people in isolation, could change the card. So we'll wait and see. We'll report that as we get information. Second article of news is that apparently Sean Morley, formerly Val Venus, has deleted his Instagram and Twitter account, at least his Twitter account. I'm not sure if it's Instagram. And this is because, once again, his views don't match, I guess, what mainstream media wants them to match, which sets a dangerous precedent. Really does. We can't speak your mind in an open platform, irregardless to what it is that you have to say. Are you living in a free society? Would you like it? I mean, if I said I'm only going to take an opinion that agrees with mine, is that fair? So, you know, he gets a lot of hassle, and he finally just deletes his account because he's had enough of it. It's unfortunate when things like this have to happen. It really is. So we'll see if he I know he's still somewhat active on Facebook. So I don't know if we'll be seeing any more of the big Valboski on Instagram or Twitter. I guess we'll find out. Anyway, let's jump into Monday Night Raw, because there are some very interesting decisions made last night. First off being, they finally announced what they're calling the main event. Now, they can call this the main event and make it night one main event or night two main event. So I've heard people getting all excited saying it's not going to be Roman Reigns and Edge is the main event. That's not true. All they said was this is the main event. And say what night? So they're going to have main event night one, main event night two. And if anybody, for any reason, thinks Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair is going to be one of those main events, you've lost your mind. Nobody even cares about that match anymore. They destroyed that match. It's not a main event. It's not a WrestleMania main event. So we know what the two main events are going to be. Now, as far as the announcement, a little weird that you'd announce it now. I'll tell you why it's a little weird. It kind of ruins Fastlane, doesn't it? I mean, does anybody think Sheamus is winning now? Does anybody think maybe Sheamus will pull a fast one and something will happen? When we weren't sure it was Drew McIntyre, because there were still some rumors that maybe they'll get Lesnar. We weren't 100% sure, at least. Now we're 100% sure. And would it have hurt to wait until next Monday to make that announcement? 3 weeks instead of four? Very unusual that you'd kind of spoil that match for no real good reason that I can think of. Now, look, these guys are cranking on all cylinders. The following people deserve all the credit in the world here in the WWE. Number one, Sheamus. I've never seen anybody on fire like Sheamus. It's a shame, no pun intended, that he's not the guy right now that they can push or that they want to push, because he is putting together match after match after match of the most physical, hard-hitting, realistic, inspired wrestling I've seen in a long time. And anybody gets in the ring with is actually looking better because of it, which we'll talk about when we get to the main event. Bobby Lashley, who's really stepped up his game and has that intensity now, probably because he's got a good angle and he knows it. He knows, you know, he's top dog right now. And Drew McIntyre. These three guys have really stepped up the game. These three guys, and of course, you know, MVP, who has carried this thing, we know that. But I'm talking about in-ring competitors. So what we get is the announcement that Drew McIntyre is, in fact, going to main event WrestleMania, fighting Bobby Lashley for the belt. But before this happens, MVP declares that he's got to hit by Sheamus at Fastlane. And, of course, Bobby Lashley has to get by Sheamus that night. And to be perfectly honest with you folks, they're kind of like throwing WrestleMania matches at you, and you're like, oh, okay. I didn't know that was going to be here, and I didn't know this was going to be. It's very unusual the way they drop some of these announcements. And it was also very unusual how they booked some of this stuff, because I think some of us thought some of these matches were taking place at Fastlane. At least I did. I thought Mustafa Ali and Riddle would be a Fastlane match. I thought the New Day, I knew the New Day was going to fight the Hurt Business, but I thought this was going to just echo into another rematch at Fastlane, which I guess it still could, but just seems very weird. So we start off with almost, Mike, a blitz of information. It's almost like they held back so long, they said, let's get all these matches out in one big work.
Right, and you're right that match it was a spoiler, you know, what they did later on, and we'll get to that. And Roy, I tell you, you mentioned the people that are hitting on all cylinders, and we'll get to this when we get to it. But Asuka.
Yeah, we'll talk about her.
You're right about Sheamus. The only reason why they're not pushing him the way they should be pushing him is, in my mind, they know that he's not going to be here long. They know his injury is probably going to flare up again, and he's not going to be here long, and they can't. He's already, 40-ish at this point, close to it, and they can't. They're already pushing a 40-year-old, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre's in his mid-30s right now. He's gotten a few more good years, I would think. But you would think that if everything was equal and Sheamus was totally healthy, I think they'd be pushing him to the moon.
Well, I got to tell you that I'm shocked. Because I just didn't think – I thought Sheamus's final run here would probably be protected to a certain degree, maybe in a tag team, maybe partial schedule, he's right in the mix. And he's elevating everybody he's getting in the ring with because he's making them work hard. And he's making them work kind of stiff. And this is the kind of wrestling I like to see. I mean, when we're jumping ahead, obviously, to the main event. But when I see things like that, you know, you got to comment on them. And this is the way wrestling should be, in my opinion. When I see this, this is what I watch wrestling for. So McIntyre comes out. He confronts Bobby Lashley. He confronts The Miz, who's out there still trying to get his WrestleMania moment, I guess. And he calls Lashley a bitch. MVP's trying to hold him back. The Miz distracts him, and there's a big sneak attack. And The Miz is kind of involved in too many angles. This is the problem. He's trying to work his way into WrestleMania. He's doing the Bad Bunny thing with the Damian Priest. But basically, The Miz is there for one reason, and that is to sell Drew McIntyre in this fight, which it went a decent amount of time. I mean, McIntyre didn't squash The Miz. Like a 10-minute match. But what he did do was not only did he claymore him, but then he put on the full Nelson lock to kind of rile up, I guess, Bobby Lashley. I mean, The Miz served his purpose here, Todd. It was a good opener. It was a good match.
I absolutely like that. Like you said, The Miz, he's there to put people over basically anymore. You're absolutely right. Like, make the match look good, make the opponents look good for The Miz, and like you said, he's just there to make the match look good.
And he didn't totally get buried. I mean, he had his moments. I don't know what's with the John Morrison's look. That was like the weirdest. I don't know what the hell's going on with Morrison. Very strange. Anyway, we get a backstage segment where we got Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Lana, Naomi, R-Truth. Talking to him about Stone Cold Steve Austin Day 316, which is actually today. And they look like the best of friends, but they're going out there to fight. Lana's getting better. So she's putting some work into it. They're still making her be the one that counts the ring lights. That's not going to change, I don't think, anytime soon. But what we did get in this match, and unfortunately, that this was the focus of the match, we got the return of Asuka, which was a real surprise because every report said possible concussion, could miss WrestleMania. I guess that report turned out to be totally exaggerated because here she was. Shayna Baszler, to her credit, took an ass beating. And we saw kind of an older side of Asuka. We saw like the NXT Asuka, didn't we? Where she was very vicious. And she was, you know, a heartbeat away from knocking Shayna Baszler's teeth out on purpose on an exposed steel buckle to the point where they actually had the referee intervene and ask her, what the hell do you think you're doing? Now, I heard some people say, oh, now she's going to – I know what's going to happen. She's going to turn heel so Charlotte can be the big hero. I don't think she's going to turn heel. I don't think so. I mean, this is the revenge. Somebody knocked your teeth out. How is it turning heel to try to knock theirs out? As a revenge. So I don't think she's turning heel. If she was turning heel, she would have thrown some of the faces out of the ring or something. You know, something else would have happened. I don't see Charlotte Flair as the face going into this match. I think they're probably both going to be faces. But I do have a little bit of a newsflash. For all you people who are saying Charlotte Flair is going to be coronated at WrestleMania, just like we always knew she was going to be. Don't count on it. Because apparently she's been signed to do a movie. She's going to do a remake of, are you ready for this? She's going to do a remake of Walking Tall. The Rock did it, if you remember. And then I think after that, Kevin Sorbo did like the part two. Before that, I think it was Joe Don Baker or somebody did a couple of these Walking Talls. Well, she's going to do a Walking Tall for the USA Network, and she's going to need time off. And that time off is going to have to be after WrestleMania, and I just don't see how you give the champion time off. So that announcement could spoil a match at WrestleMania. Very interesting. But it was nice, Mike, to see the return of Asuka. She looks fine. And that extra vicious streak is kind of cool to see.
And what else was cool to see is they totally made her look like a badass. I mean, she basically fought two of them. Because Nia Jax was out there too, remember. And Nia Jax is not a small woman. And actually, Nia Jax did a good job of selling Asuka.
Yeah, she did.
Surprise.
Well, somebody put a bug in, believe me. Somebody told her you better.
Yep.
You might have lost Mike.
I mean,
oh, there you go. Yeah, I think Mike, she was probably told ahead of time, you're selling us.
Yep, and that's the thing. That's how she looked in NXT. Asuka was a total badass in NXT. Now,
yep.
You know, I mean, look, they're not going to have her change her attitude, right? I mean, her bubbly, you know, face-type attitude, but you can have a badass face. I mean, if you play this thing right, when you hear her music, you're going to say, uh-oh, somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, see, I don't see her as being a heel just because she did what she did because she had motivation to do what she did. I mean, and before that, Shayna Baszler clearly said, I kicked your teeth out on purpose, by the way, in a backstage interview. So, I mean, come on. Not that she really did, but, I mean, that's the motivation. So, no, for the people who are saying, I think she's going to turn heel, I don't think so. I'd be very surprised if Asuka turned heel. Now, could it happen? I guess it's possible because if Becky Lynch comes back, you know that's the match. I think they were hoping that was WrestleMania, but that's not going to happen. So we'll see. But, I mean, down the road, could they turn her heel? Yeah. Did they turn her heel last night? No, I just don't think so. I just don't think so. Now, the real surprise comes here. And this is where I think the show starts to break down a little bit. First, we have the backstage segment with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest where it looks like R-Truth is going to hit him with a lunchbox or something. And he says, no, I'm here to give you all this Stone Cold Steve Austin merchandise. And then here's the thing that bothers me the most. Some people are saying, well, this was a good way to get the belt off Bad Bunny. He basically looks good saying, you know what, I respect the business. You deserve this more than me. Take it. I disagree. I totally disagree. He doesn't want to look bad. No, I'm not going to take a pin. You're 140 pounds soaking wet. You can't take a pin? Okay, you don't want to take the pin from R-Truth. But then 10 seconds after R-Truth wins, here comes people trying to chase down R-Truth. How come you're not trying to chase down a 140-pound guy who's not a wrestler? I mean, that would be open season, right? You'd think every wrestler would be like, Damian Priest or not, he can't fight 20 of us. Let's go get that guy. He's not a wrestler anyway. He's 140 soaking wet. No, they wait until the actual wrestler gets it, and then they spring to the attack. That's dumb. So you were more afraid of Bad Bunny than you are R-Truth. And the only way you can get the belt away from Bad Bunny is he graciously gives it up because he's such a nice guy who respects the business so much. I didn't like it. Now, I know they got to get that belt off Bad Bunny because they're doing this thing. They're going to do the thing with Morrison and The Miz. You can see that coming a mile away. Could he have not just lost the belt? Well, we got to keep him looking strong. Looking strong? He's not a wrestler. I don't know, Mike. I understand the concept, but I think I just think they could have done that better.
Right. I think they could have done it better as well. And frankly, what should have happened is, you know, one of those sneaky pins, he rolls him up, 1, 2, 3, he takes the belt, you know. I mean, that's how Bad Bunny won it. I mean, we weren't expecting Bad Bunny to win it, but that's how he won it. So, I mean, look, and that's how most of these 24/7 championships go. Oh, somebody shows up with an unknown, with Mr. X, and Mr. X just so happens to have a a referee's jersey on.
Right.
You know, that's how it works. So
if you didn't want,
why couldn't it work that way this time?
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't want it to be R-Truth because they're both faces, I get that. Then let somebody else do it, and then R-Truth take it from them. Then Bad Bunny could have said, you know what? R-Truth deserves it more than me. I'm not going after it anymore. I'm not really a wrestler. And that would have been fine. But you know the deal. I don't want to get pinned. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Todd, I don't even think the 24/7 belt should be bothering me at this point, but for some reason, they've handled it so poorly. It just annoys me sometimes.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with that, with the Bad Bunny, Damian Priest, and the R-Truth thing last night. I just don't like it. I just didn't care for it, that part. And you know, this.
It's a little too. I don't know. They're protecting him too much. Well, what is he? Is he a wrestler now? Come on. Just let it go. The only reason they gave it to him so he could take it to the Grammys or whatever, and on Saturday Night Live, and promote it. Like, that belt means something. That's the thing that bothers me. Does that belt mean anything? It's a comedy belt. We then get the Hurt Business against the New Day, which was advertised, but my thought process is this is a warm-up match for Fastlane. And potentially Fastlane is a warm-up match for WrestleMania. Because I figured these guys are inked in. I figured this is going to be a blood feud. Now, was it a good match? It was a very good match. But for the life of me, I cannot understand how you just barely promoted this faction, the Hurt Business, as having all the gold, and now you've taken it away. It's unbelievable. And weren't we getting some kind of storyline where Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin weren't kind of gelling as partners? Where'd that go? That didn't play into this match at all. And I got news. The fans started to turn on the New Day. There was a big influx of on the internet of people saying this is bullshit. So much so that Xavier Woods had to respond and say, hey, guys, we're just out there trying to entertain and do the best we can. If they can't, you know, hold on to their belt, they can't hold on to their belt. Don't hate us for it. We're doing our job. That's because the Hurt Business wasn't broken. You tried to fix it. And for what reason? Okay, if they lost the belts. And by the way, MVP wasn't even out there for them. Wasn't even out there during what would arguably be their toughest title defense. Why? Explain it. Why wouldn't he be out there? So now the New Day has the belts. That kind of renders the Hurt Business weaker than they were. And I thought to myself, well, okay, that just sets up a Fastlane rematch. And God knows that'll probably go to a double disqualification and we'll have a big match at WrestleMania. No, because outcomes of all people, AJ Styles and Omos, and challenges the New Day at WrestleMania. My head almost exploded. Number one, Omos hasn't had a match. How do you get a tag team title match? And number two, is this the best you got for AJ Styles? To be the guy who introduces the new guy because you got nothing for AJ Styles at WrestleMania except this? Nothing? That's AJ Styles. He's in a tag team match with a guy who's not wrestled. I just don't understand this booking. I do not understand this booking. And if you're AJ Styles, you got to be saying to yourself, Jesus, when is my WrestleMania moment? Did AJ Styles get a good WrestleMania moment at some point? He had the one with Shinsuke Nakamura. People will say, well, Shane McMahon, that's not a good one. When does AJ get a really good moment here? I mean, this could be his last one, one of his last ones. Then maybe he'll win, but even if he does, okay, so that means he's had all the belts at one point. probably will win, because that's the only reason you'd take them off the Hurt Business that I could think of. Why would you take it off the Hurt Business just prior to WrestleMania when you could have had that be a WrestleMania match? Unless you have absolute intention on giving it to AJ Styles and Omos. So my thought is they're going to win it. I don't like this for AJ Styles. I don't like it for the New Day. And then you get some lame thing where Kofi Kingston is saying, well, are you a registered tag team? You got to be a registered tag team. That's why they throw together tag teams all the time. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So this really fell flat for me, Mike. I mean, I was very disappointed that this is the best they're going to get for AJ Styles for WrestleMania.
Right. And if they're angling to turn the New Day heel, I mean, that don't make sense, one. Two, I mean, you're forcing, in essence, and in reality, Xavier Woods to come out and get on Twitter in character and say, you know, basically there are other plans. And then these two guys who, yeah, he's been his bodyguard, but he's yet to wrestle. It's Omos, or whatever his name is. He's yet to wrestle. So how good is that match going to be? And really, you got two small guys versus what essentially is Omos. You know, I mean, yeah, they could run him, but how good is that going to work out? Like we've been saying, he hasn't wrestled.
It's not going to work out. That's the whole point, because it de-elevates AJ Styles, because let's face it, if you said we're having a solo match, AJ Styles versus Xavier Woods or AJ Styles versus Kofi Kingston, AJ Styles would be the heavy favorite. And you know Omos isn't going to look bad in his debut. So, I mean, this is a lame setup. And even if you're going to do this, then why didn't you have the ending have something to do with Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin not gelling again, so you could say maybe we'll get that match at some point? And why wasn't MVP out there? These are all things, Todd, that just don't make any sense.
You're absolutely right there, like you say, about MVP and everything. And like you said, for the last couple of weeks, you haven't seen him come out with Benjamin and Alexander as the tag team champions, but he'd been coming out to the ring with Bobby Lashley there.
This is the New Day you're talking about. It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. And he didn't comment on him losing either. He was on the show afterwards, said nothing. Said nothing. Didn't show one thing with him saying, don't worry, we'll get it back. Don't worry about what it. No. He just ignored it like it didn't happen. And that's exactly what MVP was so good at not doing. So now they're throwing away the Hurt Business thing because they're only interested in Lashley now, apparently. Damian Priest squashes Jackson Ryker. I don't know what sense this makes, other than it sets up Bad Bunny actually throws a punch, hits Elias, and Elias sells it. A little bit. I mean, doesn't oversell it, but he sold it. Now, to Bad Bunny's credit, I'll give him a little credit. To Bad Bunny's credit, when Damian Priest made the save after Elias recovered from the punch and went after him, Bad Bunny did look like he was scared to death, and he did sort of indicate to Damian Priest, like, you saved my life. So I guess I'll give him credit for that. I won't give him credit for the fact that he sold the guitar shop from The Miz like ass. That's the best I can tell you. He's far from a wrestler. I don't know how this match is going to work. I really don't. This is a gimmick match. There's a couple of these matches at WrestleMania. It's not shaping up to be much. And I fear this is one of them. I really do. And Damian Priest being stuck in this, he's got to get rid of the Bad Bunny thing right away. If he's going to be a solo dude and really do something, he's got to ditch this and ditch it quick. Because he's playing second fiddle to a guy who's not going to be there very long. When you should be promoting Damian Priest, you're promoting Bad Bunny. I'm Damian Priest's buddy. Or I'm Bad Bunny's buddy, I should say. When you should be promoting Damian Priest. As far as Jackson Ryker, his career is over. His career was over the minute he said he supported Donald Trump. I have no idea why. But his career is over. Don't know what to say about this one, Mike. I mean, it's just really a setup for The Miz and Morrison against Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, I guess.
Right. And we know probably how that's going to end up because, really, Miz has too many other things in the fire, and Morrison is going to be there, but for how long, you know? And Bad Bunny, the way it's probably going to end up is Bad Bunny's going to get the pinfall over one of them, or probably The Miz, whatever, which is sad because The Miz is doing, yeah, he's in way too many gimmicks, but he's kind of sort of doing things halfway decent in all those things, you know, in all those angles.
Yeah.
So, and look, right now, you look at him and the way they're playing him, he is basically a main event caliber guy right now, the way they played him. Yeah, he's taken a few losses here and there, but they've been to Drew McIntyre and Lashley and stuff. And you would expect him to lose to that. But other than that, he hasn't really lost to anybody semi-big, you know?
Well, that's a good point. He's not losing to Jabrones. He's losing to A-list talent. Now, if he loses to Bad Bunny, look, you want me to agree that Bad Bunny respects the business? Then you know what? Here's how it works. You go into WrestleMania. Go ahead and get your moves in. Go ahead and look pretty good for a minute. And then get your ass handed to you to the point where they carry your ass out. So then Damian Priest can say, this is sort of my fault. I knew he wasn't a wrestler. He knew he wasn't a wrestler. We know what the Miz and Morrison can do. My job was to protect him. I didn't get it done. Now he's hurt, and I'm going to take it out on the Miz and Morrison. Then you have a feud. And Bad Bunny can go off saying, man, I got in over my head, and I got my ass kicked by people who do this for a living. That's respecting the business. Show me that, and then I'll say Bad Bunny respects the business. Because I got news for you. If I was Bad Bunny, that's what I would want to do if I loved the business. I'd say, I can't win. Let those guys kick my ass so you can promote Damian Priest as kind of avenging me for getting my ass kicked, like, you know, uphill and down. That's respecting the business. Getting your WrestleMania moment when you're not even a wrestler, that's not respecting the business. That's just hype. I don't like it. Anyway, we talked about Asuka destroying Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, and looking really good. No Charlotte Flair. We got a little word on Andrade, too, so let's put it in here. Andrade went home. Andrade was not at the tapings. Andrade's going to sit his contract out. Andrade is done. They refused to give him his release, but he's not wrestling. He's going to sit his contract out, apparently. I don't know how this is sitting with Charlotte Flair. I don't know what's going to go on. Maybe they'll talk to him. Maybe they'll wait. Cooler heads prevail. I don't know. I know on a recent podcast, Booker T said something that I think is kind of dumb in a way. He said if Andrade had put more effort into learning the language, he probably would have been a big star. Well, the thing is, there are a lot of other people. I mean, Asuka doesn't speak the language that well either. Shinsuke Nakamura kind of like half does, but not super. He doesn't do a lot of mic work. Hell, there are guys who speak perfect English who don't do much on the mic. Brock Lesnar doesn't say anything. I'm not 100% sure that's accurate. I just think they took a look at him and said everything about him kind of screams plain, but They didn't let him do what – the problem is this. With a worker like Andrade, you can't have him go in there and say, do 3 minutes and get over. He can't do it. He's not that type of worker. And you had to know that when you brought him up from NXT. He's not a three-minute worker. So now Andrade's home. Going to set out his contract, I guess. And we'll see how this plays out with Charlotte Flair. Anyway, Matt Riddle, Mustafa Ali, I thought this was going to be a match at Fastlane. They could potentially end up being a match at WrestleMania. Instead, they have it now. Let me tell you unequivocally. This whole gimmick is dead. Retribution is dead. They look like a bunch of trick-or-treaters. That's number one. They have zero credibility at this point. Their leader is a guy who, I'm sorry, but he has no charisma. Zero charisma. He's not good as a good guy. He's not good as a bad guy. He's not good as a heel or a face. Because he's not believable. He's just not believable. Sorry. Being a good athlete doesn't mean you're entertaining. He's a very good athlete. He's not entertaining. And he's the wrong person to lead this team. Now, if you had Dijakovic lead the team, it could potentially have worked. There are a couple of big guys and a smaller crazy one and a woman. As soon as you added Mustafa Ali to this mix, his team went straight down the shitter. That doesn't make any sense. He's the only guy without a mask. These are guys who supposedly are anti-WWE, yet they're lumberjacks for the Federation when they're asked to be. They don't beat anybody. They can't get out of their own way. When they do try to interfere, they hurt each other. Like the Three Stooges. Nobody cares about this faction. Nobody. Zero people care about this faction. It's done. It's finished. You see, you got to recognize when something fails and just say bail. My God, you bailed on things that were working. This was awful, Mike. I mean, the match wasn't awful, but you just take a look at this and you can see this is dead in the water.
Right. And basically, we don't know who all of them are. And look, they even brought back what's-her-name, Mia Yim. I mean, she's been down in NXT for a while now, bringing Mia Yim. Now, can they bring her? Can they bring her down and bring her back up as Mia Yim, and maybe stick her with Keith Lee? Maybe I don't know. By the way, where the hell is Keith Lee? But that's neither here nor there. It's dead. This whole thing is dead. You need to basically ruin Dijakovic's Dijakovic's career, because when he was back down in NXT, him and Keith Lee were having these just knockdown, drag out matches, and you could see the charisma. Unlike the so-called leader of the group, you could see Dijakovic's charisma. I mean, at some point, what's his name? The other guy, the guy with the dreadlocks.
Yes. Yeah. Why is his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He has somewhat more charisma than Ali. You know, I mean, everybody in that group has more charisma than Ali, and they've ruined it. You know.
They've totally ruined it because they've made them jackasses. I mean, they just made them jackasses. It's awful because it could have worked. If you had a group that came in there looking like that, okay, you gave Slapjack a dumb name. You gave them all kind of dumb names. But it could have worked if they were real vicious. And it could have worked if they were successful. But you throw Ali in there, and he looks about as menacing as, you know, I don't know what. And it just doesn't work. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. And then on top of that, they lose every match, so it really doesn't matter. They're irrelevant. Why are we continuing with this? Nobody cares. We then get to one of the most ridiculous things I guess I've ever seen on Raw, which is Shane McMahon, who, again, I thought this was going to be a WrestleMania match. I didn't even think it was going to be a Fastlane match. I thought it was going to be a WrestleMania match. Braun Strowman against Shane McMahon, which it still may. Let's pray to the gods it's not. But you want to talk about killing Braun Strowman's career. Braun Strowman went from tipping over ambulances with Roman Reigns inside it to selling to Shane McMahon like he's Goldberg. Yes, I know he hit him with a camera. Big deal. This is awful. And then for what reason, by the way? Why is Shane McMahon targeting? Please explain to me the plot line. Why is Shane McMahon targeting Braun Strowman? What is in it for Shane McMahon? Nothing. There's no reason. Because he thinks Braun Strowman is stupid? That's a good reason. That's a good reason for a 50-some-odd-year-old man to show up on Raw and just start picking on somebody. I was sitting home one day, and I said, that's a stupid guy. I guess I'll go tell him he's stupid, risk my life and limb and livelihood. But what are you talking about? The worst angle I've ever heard. And then I don't know what the hell it is with dumping this green slime or whatever it's supposed to be on him. I don't even know what the hell it's supposed to be. What's going on? I mean, this is the worst angle I've ever seen the WWE do because it makes sense on no level. A five-year-old wouldn't buy this. It's just terrible. And who does it hurt? Who does it help? Shane McMahon, why would it help him? He's not a wrestler. He's not going to be a full-time wrestler. How does it help Braun Strowman? Even if he destroys Shane McMahon, how does it help Braun Strowman? It doesn't. It destroys Braun Strowman. So congratulations, because on this show, you totally destroyed Retribution, even if there was anything left of it. There isn't now, which there probably wasn't. The Hurt Business now has been weakened just when they were looking good. They had all the belts, and you're like, yeah, man, this faction is going to rule for a while. No, let's give it back to the New Day so they can be transitional champions so we can get a belt on Almos. Who I'm going to guarantee you is going to suck the joint up. And AJ's in there to save his ass. That's what you're going to get. This is a disaster. It seems like the WWE's focused on like three guys and the rest of them, they're like, we don't care about. We just don't care about it. Todd, this was a really, really bad segment. It wasn't a terrible match, but it was a bad segment.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Shane McMahon or Braun Strowman thing last night. I'm thinking the same thing, too. Like, no five-year-old, nobody's not going to buy this crap. It's like you're in kindergarten or out on the playground getting bullied. Like, this is stupid. A grown-ass man get picked on.
And can you believe, Mike, that Braun Strowman uttered the line, this is the same crap I've had to put up with my whole life being bullied. I think we lost Todd. Sorry, Todd, call back. Go to Mike. Did we lose Mike too? Okay, I don't know what happened. Looks like we lost everybody.
I'm calling back.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go, Mike. What's the deal? Braun Strowman says, is this the same crap I put up with my whole life, being bullied?
Right, and look, we've known for a while that they ruined Braun Strowman, right? We've known that,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is continually ruining of a good thing. And look, for lack of a better term, we've said this before, Marcus, that when they had him lose all that weight and become basically a bodybuilder, they ruined him. You know, they've been ruining him for a while now, and yeah,
ruined more than this. I've never seen anybody get ruined more than this. You're going to sit here and tell me you told Braun Strowman to go out there and utter the lines at his size? I've been bullied my whole life. Bullied your whole life? This is the guy who almost killed Roman Reigns. It's unbelievable.
Right. And I don't get. I don't get it. Illogical.
So he's been bullied his whole life by guys like Shane McMahon. I can't. I mean, at this point, I'm just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I just cannot. And then we get Stephanie McMahon, by the way, on some show saying, we're putting a lot of extra emphasis on the writers and creating characters. Are you insane? What writer came up with that? Whatever writer came up with that, they would be fired instantly. But the idea would have got on the air because they would have said, I have an idea. We're going to have Braun Strowman come out and say he's been bullied his whole life to get sympathy. And I'd be like, yeah, no, and you're fired because that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And you obviously have no idea who Braun Strowman is. Zero idea who Braun Strowman is. It's terrible. I actually think this may be worse than the This Is Your Life Bailey thing. And that is one of the worst angles that was ever on a WWE show. Take a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Marcus, it's Tom. I'm here.
Okay, so what's your take on Braun Strowman being bullied his whole life by people like Shane McMahon? He's about 9 foot tall and 380 pounds.
Well, that's about as believable as the fact that maybe I have a bridge to sell you real cheap.
I mean, this
Braun
is the worst.
Strowman was...
Thomas, the worst I've ever seen. I think it's worse. Let me get you back here. I think it's worse than the This Is Your Life Bailey, because at least you could believe that maybe Alexa Bliss was picking on Bailey. But is there any possible motivation for Shane McMahon to pick on Braun Strowman? What's the motivation?
Just to get his stupid-looking 55-year-old mug in the camera, because apparently there's nobody else to fight Braun Strowman. Maybe we should dust off the guys from Saturday Night Live, huh?
Yeah, maybe. See, if you played your cards right, you could have had Dijakovic against Braun Strowman. You could have had Braun Strowman be that guy that the Retribution really does have an issue with. But no, because Retribution's got to beat your Browns. Hell, you could have had Keith Lee, but apparently Keith Lee and all his athletic ability isn't good enough to be in WrestleMania. But Bad Bunny is. Bad Bunny's good enough to be in WrestleMania. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Now, fortunately, we are graced at the end with a fantastic match. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm not a huge Bobby Lashley fan. I didn't like him when he was over in Impact. I think he's limited sometimes, but man, did Sheamus pull a match out of him. Man, did Sheamus pull a match out of him. What did I see? I saw two guys sweating, tired, obviously breathing heavy, hitting hard enough for me to hear it. And it felt like they're fighting. And I'm saying, this is what wrestling is supposed to be. This is exactly what wrestling is supposed to be. I thought this match was so well booked with Bobby Lashley kicking out at one and not two from some of these major moves, where Sheamus is clearly saying, Jesus, it wasn't even a one count. It's barely a one count. Keeping Lashley looking real strong, but then showing that Sheamus is so physical that Lashley's starting to get worn down. It is possible to wear him down. And Lashley at the end now it's starting to get to be a two count. And you're saying to yourself, if Sheamus could last a little longer, he's wearing him down. It went from that quick one kick out to a slow two kick out. And he hasn't hit his big finish yet. It was a very well-booked match. Sheamus is doing such fantastic work. So is Drew McIntyre. And when they pulled one out of Lashley, so Lashley can do it too. He needs it. This is what these wrestlers need. They need the physicality. Unfortunately, some of them don't want it. I truly believe that. You know, you hear Sheamus works a little stiff. Well, yeah, it's professional wrestling. Welcome to the club. This is what makes it look good. Look at Sheamus' back. And Sheamus has an advantage, which I also have, by the way, which is we're so pale. being Irish, that if you hit us anywhere, it leaves a big red welt or a big red mark on our skin. So you slam Sheamus a couple times, you slap him a couple times, and next thing you know, he looks like you put him through a meat grinder. So he has that advantage. But, man, does it work. And there was a part that I thought was brilliant. And I don't know whether it was done on purpose or it wasn't. But Sheamus is trying to give him the 10 beats of the boundary, and he only gives him 7 because he's so exhausted. And he kind of just stumbles backwards like, I don't have any more left in me. I thought that was, if he did that on purpose to show, I'm so tired from the beating, that was a brilliant move. Now, if he was just gassed, he was just gassed. Bobby Lashley was gassed. When you have that much muscle, it takes a lot of oxygen to move that around for a long period of time. And Bobby Lashley was 100% gassed. But he was still hanging in there. Drew McIntyre came out to watch the match. I thought he did a pretty good job. And this main event probably saved the show from being a D-minus. A really good, strong performance again, Mike, by Sheamus. And did you notice that Drew McIntyre, he knows what they're doing. Because when he cut the promo, he said, we've had the most physical matches, and you haven't seen anything yet until you see Fastlane. They literally are promoting this match because they know the fans are raving about how they've been doing the past couple weeks.
Right, and here's another little thing that happened that Sheamus did. A couple times, well, one time when he couldn't get it done, he was trying to do the 10 beats of Jabari, right? And what's his name? And Lashley kept getting out of it. Well, what did he do? Instead of trying to do that, he went and he hit him in the kidneys.
Right.
You know, and then a couple times, and then he did it. And then he did the 10 beats of the Bowery. You know, and so that was, we talk about different people getting to their moves in different ways. I mean, Cesaro is good at that, getting to, you know, the uppercut or whatever, or the swing or whatever, to in different ways. That was a different way to get to that particular move. And look, that's, you know, I think to some extent, Lashley needed this match.
I agree 1,000%. Yes. You were 1,000% correct. I was just about, you read my mind because that's just what I was going to say. Lashley needed this match much more than Sheamus because Lashley now looks like a world beater. I mean, Lashley looks like I can put on a great match. We were all saying, yeah, okay, Drew McIntyre is going to fight Lashley, but is it going to be a really good match after watching Sheamus and Drew McIntyre that we know are great matches? And truthfully, my thought was, no, it's going to be a disappointment. It's not going to live up to Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Now I don't know. Maybe it will. And you can credit Sheamus for that because he drew that match out of him, I'm telling you. It was probably Bobby Lashley's best match in the WWE since he's returned. And that's not an accident. Todd, I thought this was a really, really good main event.
Absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said with the Sheamus and the Bobby Lashley match last night, Sheamus made Lashley work last night. Made him do all these moves and all these, made him work.
Lashley just scoops him up in the beginning and throws him into the, it looked like a real fight. He's down there, he's trying to do like some MMA ground and pound. It just looked like a fight. And at the end of the day, I'd rather watch guys look like they're really fighting and competing than say, watch me flip. Now watch me flip. Now watch me do a move that misses you by 6 inches and you still sell it. So, Tom, I think they did a wonderful job on this main event. I think Sheamus is on fire.
I tell you what, Marcus, this is what I've been waiting an entire year for. They're finally getting physical. It was one of the most physical matches I've watched in a long time. And Sheamus made Bobby Lashley look like $1 million. So hats off to Sheamus. And the match I watched a couple weeks ago with McIntyre and Sheamus was absolutely off the charts. And this is what we've been, as wrestling fans, waiting an entire year for, of a physical beatdown, no-holds-barred beatdown of each other. And that's what professional wrestling was about and should still be about.
I agree 1,000% because, look, you got guys in this locker room right now worried about breaking a nail. I mean, legitimately, it's getting old. You want to be a wrestler, but you know what? It comes with a certain amount of physicality. And you don't want to put the physicality in, then I don't know what to tell you. But these guys are stepping up and showing you some old school pounding here. And it's about damn time. Anyway, save the show for me. I like the beginning, and I certainly like the New Day match, although I'm telling you, I would not have given the belts to the New Day. You've tipped your hat completely on WrestleMania. I just think it was a bad mistake. There was a lot of bad stuff in this show. The New Day match with the Hurt Business would not have saved it because of the outcome. This would have been a D show for me without this. This is going to bring it up a whole grade and a half. That's how good I like this match. I'm going to give it a C+. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I've got to give it a C+, and it's not just because of what you just said, but the Oscar thing.
And that's a good thing, too.
One, you know, Oscar looked like a world beater, looked like a badass, and two, somebody obviously got into Nia Jax's head and told her, you got to sell somebody else besides besides Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. The only person she sells. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, Todd, what's your rating this week?
I give it a C+ as well. Not just that.
We got two C+s, and let's go to Tom. Tom, what do you give it? Oh, Tom is gone. Well, we should ask one more question, and that is, going on with Alexa Bliss challenging Randy Orton? Well, you know what's going on. We'll see the return of the Fiend at Fastlane. No doubt about that, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.